You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show, nothing to see in Green Bay anymore, right? We got to move on to, what's our next topic? Nope, it's still there. It's going to be there all season long. Feels like every Monday is going to be a referendum on how Aaron Rodgers feels. Play well, didn't play well, wants to stay, doesn't want to stay, sources close to. Yep, get ready for it. I did like what Rodgers had to say, and we predicted this, that we didn't know he was going to be this candid in that press conference, but he was very calm. The demeanor was very calm, almost methodical. Here, I'm going to let you really find out what's happening behind the curtain. But Rodgers did, he couldn't help but take a shot at the media, had this to say.
The media loves to make stories when there's not enough content to put out there. You know, there were times I could have said something, but I firmly believe that there is wisdom in silence. Also, I love this city, this organization. I felt like handling things behind closed doors was the right way to do it. There were some leaks for sure. I can promise you I didn't have a part in any of those.
There's wisdom in silence. Yes, Paul.
Isn't that a band playing at Lollapalooza this weekend?
Ladies and gentlemen, wisdom and silence.
Yeah.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, they were a DC hardcore band from the 80s.
Of course
reunited.
They were.
Is he using semantics there to distance himself from any media leaks? Like, I had nothing to do with it. He didn't say my agent and I had nothing to do with it. My representatives and I had nothing to do with it. It appears that his side of the story has trickled out a few times over the past few months. Would that be fair to say?
If you ask Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, he thinks that Aaron's agent has been the source for Adam Schefter's reports. Yes, McLevin.
I think Aaron might have mentioned later in the press conference that it wasn't his agent either. But
Okay. Maybe it wasn't. I guess it doesn't matter now. But at the time, we were wondering, like, who's getting the contract information? So Rodgers said, hey, I told you this wasn't about the money. Well, go back to the tweet. Who would benefit by saying it's not about the money? Aaron Rodgers. Or Aaron's side of the story. I have to believe that Aaron's agent was part of one of the sources for Adam Schefter with the information. Because, hey, they offered this, but you know that's not what this is all about. It's not about the money. And I thought that was stressed a little too emphatically where it's, you know, like Green Bay's not going to go, hey, it's not about the money. And Green Bay's not going to say anything like that. It's Aaron's side of this is, hey, told you, not about the money. Okay, who would tell me that? Aaron's side of this. I don't know. Is he going to be content? Can he be happy moving forward there? Is it a one and done? Did he ask to be traded? Was he told he was going to be traded? Like, I would still have questions about this, but not that, you know, Rodgers will answer those. But that would be, if he came on, that would be the one that I would ask, were you told you would be traded this offseason? And if so, would you have a say in where you were going? Could you pick the team or teams that they could consider trading you to? That's what I'd be curious about. Because it certainly feels like Rodgers was told something and then maybe it didn't happen. And then that kind of, then it exploded a little bit. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. We have a poll question, McLevin?
Yeah, we started with, who do you think had a better offseason, the Packers or Aaron Rodgers? The Packers are winning 52-48. I guess it's kind of silly because they're tied together. So I don't know why I'm pitting them against each other here.
Yeah, well, I think it's natural to, you know, hey, who won this? I think Green Bay won because they got him. They're not sure about Jordan Love. You still have a Super Bowl caliber team. You got Rodgers to show up. All right. So we listen to him. We bring in Randall Cobb and maybe somebody else this year. Maybe he decides that he wants to stay. Maybe he has seen enough. He's had his voice heard. If not, then we move on. But you got him for one more year. And he gives you a far better shot than anybody else would if you were bringing in another quarterback, trading for another quarterback. If you win a Super Bowl, everybody's happy. Is he more likely to leave if they win a Super Bowl? I don't know. It feels like he wants to have the Tom Brady treatment. Not, hey, I'm going to go back to my same organization that didn't listen to me for 16 years, and now they're listening to me. It'd be like if Belichick said to Brady, hey, Tom, we're going to listen to you now. He was already out the door. But Rodgers is going to give this another go, Super Bowl or bust, and then it feels like both sides will head in opposite directions here. Let's see. Jeff in Detroit. Jeff, what's on your mind today?
What up, though? Now, you know this pains me to do, but I will call in and tell the truth. One time for chat, bro. Green Bay, you have got one of the best quarterbacks in the world. My God, the man went scorched earth. So nice on him, too. Have you ever seen a person talk about their boss in front of them like that and do it so calmly? I mean, he just went scorched earth, and he has a unique perspective, man. I think that's a new joke. He had to say that about 5 or 10 times that I have a unique perspective. I'm really worried about him coming this fall with my Detroit Lions because the guy looks like he's really, really ready. Really ready.
Well, I hope he's...
I was hoping that he was our miscombobulated.
Poor Jeff, Lions fan. Yeah, Rodgers, you know, I heard that as well. He's motivated. Okay. I'm guessing he's motivated. Like, Jordan Love is probably motivated. Now, is he more motivated about this than he was about when they drafted Jordan Love? Because that's why he won the MVP, apparently. Oh, he's motivated. They drafted Jordan Love. Now he really wants to be great. But the two previous years, he didn't want to, apparently. He wasn't motivated. But now he's motivated. Yes, Big Love.
We can all agree this was not a good day for the Detroit Lions.
It was not.
What a many bad days.
Or the Vikings, or the Bears, the rest of the NFC. Because that's a... Now we see what happens with Devontae Adams, but I'm assuming they're going to make him the highest paid player, highest paid wide receiver, and rightfully so. But, you know, how you structure that deal and front load it and all those things. Yeah, I think that's the curiosity. Chris Collinsworth, the great analyst, former player, tweeted out, I want to thank Aaron Rodgers for that honest press conference. I hope it sets a new standard for athletes, business leaders, and politicians. Today's fear of communication is unprecedented in our country and damaging. We don't have to agree, but we do have to communicate. It's from Chris Collinsworth. Yeah, Paulie.
What if management for teams is also this forthcoming and honest in press conference? Like, you know, this year our quarterback had 10 touchdowns and 14 picks. We're going to cut him as soon as we can. We like him as a person. We hate him on the field. Yeah. All the best in the
field. Yeah, be careful what you ask for. Yeah.
Honesty? You want honesty?
Yeah. Coach shows up at the press conference. Say, what'd you think of such and such's performance? He's terrible. I don't know why. We got to get rid of him. Man, thank you for being so candid, Coach. You imagine Greg Popovich, if he went to a press conference, Coach, what do you think of Kawhi Leonard's injury? Ah, he's milking it. He's not that hurt. We're going to get rid of him. He's out of here. What do we, you know, if we had all honesty, are we ready for all honesty all the time? Wasn't that the Jim Carrey movie?
Right. Liar, liar.
Liar, liar. He couldn't help himself. Our streaming partner is Peacock, and stream the Peacock original, The 96 Effect, the three-part series, showcase the American women who carried the country to victory in gymnastics, softball, basketball, soccer at the 1996 Olympics. Don't miss The 96 Effect. It's streaming now only on Peacock. Sign up at peacocktv.com to get started. Not quite sure what Simone Biles does, because she took herself out of the team competition, then the all-around competition. Now she has individual events this weekend. I don't know if it's that simple that she can just all of a sudden turn it on and get ready to go again. I don't know if she wants to. Because I go back to what she said prior to the Olympics, that she was looking forward to the Olympics being over. And is she sick of the sport? She's 4 days away from being done with this sport, if she wants to be. If she wins one gold, is it a disappointment? She wins two. The risk of injury. Just her mindset of, who am I doing this for? Does she feel like now, if she does the individual, well, you did the individual, you didn't do the team. Like, I just don't know how she wins in a situation like this. And I don't even know if she's factoring that in, just from the outside looking at this going, What do you do? If you're not there, you're not all in. You know, it's like a golfer has the yips. But there's no danger in golf where you could actually get hurt. She has what has been described as gymnastics yips. And I wonder if she just says, you know what? I'm just going to cheer my teammates on. I'm not going to compete. Or maybe she does one event and that's it. And then whatever happens, happens. But I can't imagine what it's been like for her these last couple of days. And then you have the individual all-around competition tonight or today, and she's not going to be involved in that. So I'm really, really curious how this plays out for her. And now you've added even more pressure to a pressure-filled situation for her. But one thing that has not been mentioned enough is the women on the team, they won a silver. They didn't lose a gold. I know that we are you got to win, or if you didn't come in first, you finished last. But, you know, the women said, her teammates said, look, we won a silver. And we look at silver as, oh, you won a silver. We expect gold, but they won a silver. And I hope they're able to celebrate that, because I don't think people looked at that and did celebrate it enough, in my opinion. Let me get a couple of phone calls in here. Got some basketball to talk about. The NBA draft coming up tonight. And the Lakers could be in the market. Well, they're always in the market for one of my favorite shooters, Buddy Hield. I love Buddy. Back at Oklahoma. I picked Oklahoma to win the national title because of Buddy. And he's a great shooter. And if you can part with Kyle Kuzma, a draft pick or two, maybe another player, bring in Buddy Hield, make it work contractually. Yes, McLovin.
Did they lose by 50 points in the Final Four game to Villanova?
Hey, easy with the detail.
I just remember.
What are you doing?
I'm a Villanova fan.
What are you doing?
But he did get them pretty far.
All right. I'm just saying that Buddy Hield got them to that game. I mean, that. So the report was NBC Sports Bay Area initially. It could be the number 22 pick, Montrezl Harrell and Kyle Kuzma, or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That's according to The Ringer's Kevin O'Connor. Buddy Hield is good. I'd love to have him in there. I can part with Kyle Kuzma. I'm okay with that. Yeah, it feels like that might get their attention, but I don't know if that's enough for Sacramento to go, yep, we'll get rid of Buddy Hield for that. But that's the possibility. Also, the Ben Simmons conversation, that's starting to pick up again. Here are the teams that will at least be interested in him. Heat, Raptors, Wizards. Heat, Raptors, and Wizards for Ben Simmons. I don't know what the deals are, but it feels like those are the three teams right now. Here's the problem. Philadelphia wants a whole lot for a guy that they've devalued. Like, hey, we want you to give us all of these things. And I look at it and go, no. How about I'm going to give you half of what you're asking for? And maybe that's what the goal is. We want this. Well, you're not going to get that. All right, we'll settle for this. Like Scott Boras used to always do this. I want $400 million. You're crazy. You're not getting $400 million. Well, he knows that he's going to get $330 million, and then you give him $340. And then he got what he wanted, and then some. You're not getting $400. We'll give you $340. All right, we'll take it. Yeah, McLovin.
You always have that guy in your fantasy football league who's like, I'll give you Edgerrin James. I know. You give me Edgerrin James, and I'll give you this tight end. That's what the Sixers want, like five first-round picks. It's crazy what they're asking for.
I know. But you've devalued this guy. Like, you don't want him. He's so good, you don't want him. Okay. There's something wrong with this. All right, more phone calls coming up. And did we hear anything from the Packers yet? I think their GM, Brian Gutekunst, was meeting with the media. I would not be meeting with the media. Not after what Aaron did to the organization yesterday. Because now you got some questions to ask him. Aaron said, and then now, like, is this full disclosure press conference week in Green Bay where I'm going to, you know what? I got some things I would like to tell you. If the burner is low on the stove, then leave it there. Don't have any, don't give anybody an opportunity to all of a sudden fire it up and put it on the front burner. And there's that pride and ego factor, like, I'm not going to let him say that stuff about us or what we did, and I'm going to talk to the media. Nope, don't say anything.
I told you, he's a handful, isn't he? I know. We love him. We love him. We do. The player is certainly something.
Love A-Rod.
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 All right, we'll take a break. 16 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Simply Safe Home Security. It started at 15 years ago. I love the story. Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, they're the founders. They were in their kitchen. One of their friends' home had just been broken into, and they wanted to come up with a security system. So they set up their own.
And one thing we know for sure, Eleanor don't play.
Eleanor.
You do not want to mess with Eleanor.
Yeah, and Chad is sneaky too.
Yeah.
But they came up with their own security system 15 years ago. It's called Simple because you install it, no electrician, and it's delivered right to your door. And it's safe because they win awards. That's how safe they are. They win awards with their safety. But what I love, and there's so many things, there's no contract to sign, no hidden fees. Plus, when you call, somebody answers. It's not a recording. They want you to know that you're connected to them and vice versa. An expert is ready whenever you need them, a fire, burglary, medical emergency. Set up your system. They're there to help you. SimplySafeDan.com. Customize your system. You get a free security camera. 60-day risk-free trial. Nothing to lose. That's SimplySafeDan.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Kyrie Irving is supposed to have his new Nike shoe drop today. Guess who has a big problem? Who has the biggest problem with Kyrie Irving's new shoe? Yeah, Paulie?
Someone made fun of it on social media because it didn't look good or something?
No. Kyrie Irving has the biggest problem with the new Kyrie Irving shoe. He says, I have nothing to do with the design or marketing of the upcoming Kyrie 8. These are trash. I have absolutely nothing to do with them. Nike plans to release it without my okay, regardless of what I say. So I apologize in advance to all my sneaker heads and true supporters of the Kyrie brand.
These are trash.
Yes, Tom.
So what's Nike's relationship with him now? Are they waiting for the other shoe to drop?
Okay. All right. Okay. Big wind up there. I thought you were going to do the net result of... Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Paul?
He seems perpetually difficult, doesn't he? Like one of those guys who's kind of never satisfied. He's got a major shoe deal, and I don't know if they ask him to be in the designing room with them. I don't know.
Can they sue him?
He definitely hurt the launch of the shoe.
Yes. Do you want to buy it now because, like, it's infamous or famous because he's trashing his own shoe? But I don't know. Kyrie is all, I mean, it's all, he's complicated. It's like, that seems to be the new word for today's athlete. Aaron Rodgers, he's complicated. Not always a compliment when somebody says, you know, you're complicated. Since we don't know the players that well, the NBA draft talk has become more about styles than individuals. Right now, everybody wants a wing who can shoot. So Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State, also the G Leaguer, Jalen Green. If you go big, go with my guy, USC big man, Evan Mobley. Some teams value big game experience. So you got Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs. The reality of this is it's a lot of guessing that goes on. You're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-olds. You know, the Sixers prove with their famous or infamous process. Tanking and high picks don't guarantee anything. And the sure things are few and far between. Even if you're getting a good player, holding on to him can be a challenge. And not to put a damper on tonight's festivities, but, you know, look at last year. The Hornets got LaMelo Ball. He energized the whole franchise. But he didn't play in college. There are probably some great players tonight. It's just tougher than ever to kind of figure out who they are. And when you're talking about sleeper picks, it feels like just about everybody's a sleeper pick because we don't have a Zion Williamson. I mean, Cade Cunningham is a good player at Oklahoma State. I don't know what that translates into. He's got all the... He could be a Penny Hardaway. Okay. He could be. He could be a Tracy McGrady. Okay. You know, Jalen Green is... See, that he intrigues me. He went to the G League. And he was getting buckets against grown men. Like guys who were trying to get back into the NBA. He was playing against real competition there. And he was getting buckets. And it feels like that's the kind of guy that you know can make that transition and he's going to get buckets in the NBA. I don't know how good he's going to be. Like Evan Mobley. In, you know, 20 years ago, Evan Mobley might be the number one pick because we would value a big guy who played down low. But the new big now, you got to be able to defend the pick and roll. Can you do the pick and pop? I still go back to, you know, the reason why the Bucks won the championship is they put the Greek Freak down low on the blocks. Somebody's eventually going to do that and say, you have to deal with us. You're going to play your style of basketball. This is how we're playing. You still have to defend us. And if you have a weapon like that, why wouldn't you? Like if you had Shaq now, how would you use Shaq? The same way. Like he's not going to shoot threes. He probably can't defend the pick and roll. But I'm just going to put him down on the blocks and say, all right, here you go. Shaq, get me 40. But we don't value the big man the way we once did. Everybody wants a wing defender or a guy who can shoot. That's it. It feels like if you're between 6'6 and 6'9, play on the wing, you know, long reach, that you got a spot in the NBA. That's where everybody's looking for right now. Yeah, Paul.
The Milwaukee Bucks this year were... They're kind of in the middle in three-point attempts per game. Yeah. They're kind of in the middle in three-point shooting percentage. They weren't low volume or high volume. It's interesting. They're not. It's not like they're not. They're away from it, but their main player doesn't do it.
Yeah, not everybody can do it. That's why when McLovin says, "Well, everybody's shooting threes," but that doesn't mean it's the right game plan for them. You got to have the right people shooting threes. It's not just, "Hey, everybody shoot threes," because you can shoot yourself into a game and out of a game because of that. The Golden State Warriors just made it look easier than what it really is. Yeah, McLovin.
Man, I got to tell you, I wish I was more excited for tonight. I used to love the NBA draft. It was right behind the NFL draft. I remember when I was a kid, Chris Webber and Sean Bradley went in that one draft.
Yeah.
Is it ever going to come back to what it was?
No. Because those players stayed around for a couple of years that you were invested in them. I mean, if you got 2 years, 3 years, Tim Duncan stayed four. I mean, that's just not going to happen anymore. And if you don't come out after your first year, then we look at you and go, are you really that good? And Chris Webber probably would have been one and done or not gone to college if he could have. I don't know, you know, how important college was, but the landscape has changed. And you want to get into that next contract. If you're 18, you get in, get your rookie deal done, now you're into big money. And then there's a chance you'll get four contracts. You're going to get the rookie deal, and then you'll get three huge contracts. If you're good and you get in at 18, that's what's going to happen. At least that would be the mindset now. James in Cincinnati. Hey, James, what's on your mind today?
Hey, DP, 6 foot, slender, 190.
All right.
So I just wanted to hit on the Ben Simmons thing. Like, I don't understand why there's so much hype around this kid. I personally don't even think he's a top 10 point guard in the league. He can't shoot free throws. He can't shoot threes. He has no confidence. I mean, he can defend, but it's a scoring league. So he really does no use. I also have a prediction tonight for your Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
Franz Wagner will be going to them, number 9 overall, and he will be going top 10 if you'd like. I know you're not a betting man anymore, but he will be a lock there. And shout out Skyline Chili.
All right. Thank you, James. Wagner has a brother who plays in the NBA, was drafted by the Lakers. Mo Wagner, Michigan. But I think, here's my prediction. the Golden State Warriors take Wagner. Yes, Paul.
Franz Wagner is a lottery pick. Frank Wagner is an undrafted free agent.
Yes.
If he was Frank Wagner and played at Wisconsin,
yeah,
he'd be like a getting rebounds and he'd be undrafted, yeah, or second round at best. Franz Wagner. Remember Nick Stauskas?
Yes.
I always thought he went by Nick, N-I-K, because it appeared to be European.
Yeah.
It helped him in the draft. I think he was a top 10 draft pick.
He was drafted by Sacramento, I think.
I have no idea where he's from.
Yeah. I know he went to Michigan State, but I mean, he might be from East Lansing, for all I know.
If I was Frank Kaminsky, I would have gone by Franz Kaminsky with a C at the end. Frank Kaminsky. It helps being European.
It does. It does. All of a sudden, it feels like you're remember, it used to be a negative with, oh, European, he's soft. Now it feels like, oh, Nicholas Skidishvili, he's got to be really good. No, not necessarily. If his name was Mike Skittish. Now we got to, it's Nicholas Skidishvili. But yeah, you're right. Franz Ferdinand Wagner III does sound like you're a little bit better. I don't know if his middle name's Ferdinand, but just taking off the band Franz Ferdinand. Yes, McLovin.
Nick Stauskas is of Lithuanian descent, but is a member of the Canadian national basketball team somehow. Okay.
We're all of some descent.
Yes.
If I was playing, let's say I was playing for Indiana right now, I would put an umlaut on my first name and say I was from Germany.
Yeah. Pauline Paps.
Whatever.
Paul.
Paul, sure.
Paul. Paul. Powell.
I could jack.
No,
three.
You would just do P A U.
Yeah.
Powell Pabst.
The big old umlaut.
That would be your nickname?
The running umlaut.
Ah, here is the umlaut. Yeah. Let's see. A couple more phone calls in here. Corey in Nebraska. Hi, Corey. What's on your mind today?
What up, DP?
Hey, Corey.
Hey, I was just going to. I had everybody's comparison. Comparing Rodgers to like a girlfriend breakup, I compare it to when you put in 2 weeks at your job and then the company comes back and gives you a counter offer and you end up staying there. Mm. The trust is already broken, but you're there. One last thing, suck it back row and Fritzy, you lazy.
Wow. What happened there?
I don't know.
What did he say?
He said, suck it back row and Fritzy, you lazy.
Dang.
You're not lazy.
It's a little harsh.
Yeah. See, he doesn't know how that's going to impact you now the rest of the show.
Well, there's a difference in you saying it or one of the guys here.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry, I can put that in a drawer and close that
are
up.
Are you sure? Because I don't think you're lazy.
It may bother me the rest of this segment. I think by the top of the hour, it'll be gone.
Might get a slight pain in your stomach next time Dan says, let's get some callers.
Yeah. Oh no. Corey from Nebraska is going to call in. Todd's going to be looking at the call list there.
You should just be Corey. Blocked for now. Mm-hmm. We don't need the negativity. It's like those social media tweets. You got to do. You know what? Blocked. I don't need to hear from that guy ever again.
Willie in Alabama. Hi, Willie. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, that last caller talking about Fritz, I love Fritz, so keep it up, my friend. What I want to know is...
Wait, you got to turn down your radio, Willie.
Oh, it's not the radio, it's the TV, my bad.
Turn down your TV.
Oh, you can leave that on there.
Yeah,
don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's not...
You just leave the TV
well,
on.
You know what I'm watching, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, you're watching us, I can hear me.
You know, yeah, it can kind of reverse back and forth. I'm sorry. Hey, with Aaron Rodgers just flying in just the other day, and Tom Brady has been in Tampa all last season. He had a rough start, but he got it done at the end. And now he's had a full camp. And now, you know, he's going to face Rodgers again, more than likely. You know what I mean? I cannot imagine anybody, you know, in that conference, you know, not meeting Tom Brady.
All right. Well, thank you, Willie. I think there's a very good chance that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers could meet again.
Prediction?
That's a prediction from Willie in Alabama. I'm gonna concur. I'll co-sign on that, that there's a good chance. You know, I started to think the best teams in the NFC right now, and this is, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, you got a great chance. And I would just look at it as, if I'm coming back and you can have let me have something to say, and I got a chance to play for another opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, then after that, you move on. I mean, that would be my mindset. Just come in. Hopefully, we have some fun this year. Devontae Adams gets paid. Randall Cobb comes back. We're able to be a team that wins 13 games. And then home field advantage, and you know, you're in the NFC title game again. He likes his coach. He likes the community. He likes his team. Like, he likes all of these things. And if you give him a little more control, then and you say to him, you're our quarterback of the future. Like, you would have to say, we have to admit that we screwed up with the Jordan Love pick. But if it keeps him there, gives you the best chance of winning, and he's okay, all you need are three more years with Aaron Rodgers. This year, two more. That'd be it, max. But if you have to pacify him, then I would do it. I just don't know if they will. I don't know how long you do it and how much you ask for if you're Aaron Rodgers. How much does he, you know, how much input? Has he had enough input already? You got Randall Cobb coming back. Is that good? Is he going to have something else to say? But I would want him to help recruit. You'll have famous alum who will call recruits. They'll call a football player. They'll call a basketball player. And, you know, you're not supposed to do it, but schools do it all the time, where you'll have somebody who calls and says, hey, this is such and such. Would love for you to come and play at Syracuse. North Carolina. It happens. And if Aaron Rodgers is going to call a free agent who might be considering Green Bay, I have to think that that would have some, it would carry some weight. I don't know if there's a downside to that. Yeah, Paul.
You know, if you remember that old documentary about Marcus Dupree, the famous high school running back in Mississippi,
yeah.
A Billy Sims from Oklahoma was an All-American, and he was an All-Pro with the Lions, and they flew him down on the Oklahoma private jet to go into Marcus Dupree's high school, and Marcus Dupree walked out of the building, and the next day he signed with Oklahoma.
Mike Florio has multiple people saying Aaron Rodgers was told he would be traded this offseason. He writes, to the extent that the Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers returned to Green Bay with a verbal promise that they will consider trading him after the season, Rodgers has reason to doubt whether the Packers will actually do it. Paul Allen of KFAN said that he had been told that the Packers were going to trade Rodgers, and then they didn't trade him. Rodgers didn't mention that he had been told he'd be traded during yesterday's press conference, during which he peeled the curtain back on his relationship with the organization. But that's another factor in this dysfunctional relationship that points towards 2021 being the quarterback's final year in Green Bay. Chris Sims also reiterated that as well, that he had been told that Rodgers was informed he would be traded in the offseason. I just wonder if they did try, but then the team they wanted to try to trade him to, there wasn't an opportunity. Did they try to trade him to San Francisco, the Rams? Brian Gutekunst, the Packer GM, holding a press conference today, and he talked about Aaron Rodgers has always had input on the roster.
Yes, I think it's no different than it's always been. You know, like the input from him, again, he's unique in the fact of what he's done for the certain. Every player's not going to have that kind of input, right? I mean, it's going to be Aaron. But he's always had it. I think it's how we incorporate it. At the end of the day, I'm going to take that in, and then I'll make the decision, and we'll move forward.
So that means that he might have had a voice. They just didn't listen to the voice. Now he has more of a voice there. The general manager for the Packers also wasn't aware of the issues that Aaron had.
You know, a lot of these issues, obviously, we weren't aware of them until this year, right, until this offseason. And once we were, we certainly wanted to work with them. And it's going to take both sides willing to do that, to kind of work through them. And I think we're committed to doing that.
Okay. Weren't aware of any of these issues. He was also asked, did you trade for Randall Cobb to make Aaron happy?
You know, obviously without Aaron, I don't think we would probably be pursuing that. Reynolds still a really good player. And seeing him last night just kind of reminded me of, you know, how what an impact he'll have in our locker room for our football team. But, you know, this was a very important thing for Aaron, and that's why we did it.
When even you can't swallow your own BS. we're really excited about it. It's good to have him back here in the organization.
I have a coughing fit every time I lie to the media. Sorry. Apologies.
Yes, Todd.
That was right out of my playbook. That was a loud throat clear.
Now let me hear that one more time.
You know, obviously without Aaron, I don't think we would probably be pursuing that. Reynolds still a really good player. And seeing him last night just kind of reminded me of, you know, what an impact he'll have in our locker room for our football team. But, this was a very important thing for Aaron, and that's why we did it.
Of course.
What an impact he's going to have in the locker room.
Green Bay is a fantastic vacation spot.
We weren't aware of Aaron's issues with us.
No, very excited. Very excited.
We'll take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a new segment on the show, Against the Grain Training Camp Most Valuable Player.
Rankings.
Oh, rankings. Oh, okay. So there's a little bit bigger title there. And you know that I love talking about who's the MVP after week two of the NFL season. So let's get started in training camp here. Even before it's really training camp. But McLovin, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
So the most important factor in making the rankings this early is to actually have some idiotic reporter record your stats, because I only had a limited access to numbers. Okay. I'm going to start at my number three so far in training camp MVP. Mm. How about a nice start for Indianapolis quarterback Carson Wentz? 12 of 20 during live 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills.
Now, could he be sacked in this drill?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yes. And 7-on-7 stats, they don't usually count, but okay. That's going to get you into the thing because somebody recorded it. Number two is Steelers running back Najee Harris, who won 4 out of 5 matchups in the running back versus linebacker passing drill.
Wow.
That's 80%, Dan.
Yeah, that's nice.
I don't want to get too analytical. That's 80%.
Well done.
Yes. And number one is a former Super Bowl MVP. Can anyone guess who the early front runner for training camp MVP is? The tough
Nick
one.
Nick Foles.
Ooh, you're in the right genre. You're so close. You have the right height.
Genre?
Yes. He was
Joe Flacco.
Yes. Eagle. But can you name the team? Eagles backup Joe Flacco.
Yes.
6 for 10, 2 TDs. I was going to give it to third string Eagles quarterback Nick Mullins, who was 8 for 8, but those were third team reps. Limited stats. Also, I did read that Trace McSorley, the former Penn State quarterback, played really well with Lamar Jackson out with COVID.
Okay.
And Odell Beckham's running around after coming back from his ACL. So those are the best training camp stats I could find.
No Mac Jones with the Patriots?
You know, I wasn't super impressed with Mac Jones. He didn't have the touchdown production. I need to see red zone from him to get into here. Mm. But, you know, this is a fluid thing, Dan. This,
okay. All right.
You know, maybe tomorrow he'll break his way into it.
All right. Thank you, McLovin. Against the Grain Training Camp Most Valuable Player Rankings.
Flows off the tongue.
Yes, it does. Yes. Now, is this daily? This is weekly?
It depends. Whatever you want, Dan. Whatever the audience, the public demands.
Oh, I wouldn't ask them for an opinion on this. speaking of which, Todd has a limerick on Aaron Rodgers.
I do. It's been a while.
Okay. Who's going to deliver it for us today, Todd?
Yeah.
Ooh.
What voice?
I was going to go maybe Marge Simpson.
Okay. Marge Simpson with the Aaron Rodgers limerick.
Packers fans rejoice. Say hooray. Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay. Can this work? Time will tell. He's a complicated fella. With personnel, will he finally have say?
Okay.
That hurt my voice a little bit.
I know. But it's so much better when you do it in somebody
else's
voice.
Should I try it in my regular voice and see how much
worse it is? No. It's good. Yeah, we got through it. And
we got through it.
I mean, we got to enjoy it. Okay.
Passing a kidney stone. We got through it. It's all right.
The beauty is, with a limerick, it's just one paragraph.
Quick five lines, and you can go back to regularly scheduled program.
All done. Jason in Nebraska. Hi, Jace. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Danny and Danettes. Love you guys. Just want to recommend to you fellas a TV series called Mr. In Between on FX. I think you guys will really like it. And then, Danny, I just wanted to thank you for bringing up the other three young ladies on the gymnastics team. We throw out the brave, courageous hero card all pretty much to anybody anymore. And I'm not going to go into Simone because it's none of my business. But those three young ladies, one in particular, had to do two more routines, and she did it. And instead of talking about the silver medal, we're talking about Simone's stability. You know, let her come out when she's ready to talk about it. Until then, let's not. It's all speculation. And then, just last but not least, wanted to thank Seton. On Monday, he brought up somebody talking about the average Joe doing the Olympics, and I said, man, that would be awesome. And then, sorry, but suck it, NBC. You got to work on your scheduling. It's not Olympic like right now. So thanks, guys.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. Thank you. A shout out to you, Seton.
That was nice.
Yeah. John in Tennessee joining us. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Dan and the Danettes, man, you guys are great. First of all, I'm 5'8", 150, lean, mean. And thank you very much. My son, y'all mentioned Lollapalooza just a little while ago. My son actually headlined Lollapalooza on Sunday, August the 1st. His name is JXDN. Dan, if I remember correctly, you're a Blink-182 fan. Is that right?
No.
You're not. Okay. Well, Travis Barker, who is the drummer for Blink-182, signed my son. So check him out, JXDN. Shout out to him. But here's my question.
Okay.
So you mentioned that the girls won the silver, which I totally agree with. All right. But when our men get to the finals and they lose, did they win the silver or did they lose the gold? Love you guys. Thanks for listening to me.
All right. It's just the expectations that come along with it. But the U.S. men, they would probably be viewed as losing the gold medal, not, hey, we won the silver. I mean, you also have to factor this in. Simone Biles wasn't competing, and the other three women had to pick up, where she left off. So they won the silver. It's not like they lost the gold. If Simone Biles was competing and she was in, clear headspace and they didn't win the gold, it would be a surprise. But I think that these three women, they won the silver. And they should be hopefully applauded that way, or more people should recognize that. You won the silver. We tend to look at the silver. Like Katie Ledecky wins a silver, and it's like, what's wrong? A lot happens over a 5-year period. You know? The woman from Alaska at 16 probably wouldn't win the gold medal. But at 17 in another year of prep, she won the gold medal. Like, so now you have a 5-year window that these athletes have had to kind of train through. But it allowed some other countries, some other athletes to get better. Final hour coming up. Dan Patrick Show.